There you are.
Hi.
Hi. Hello.
Hello.
All right. Well, thank you for coming out. I didn't know who was going to come, if anybody was going to get a chance to make it today. Because up until about 5 minutes till, we was pretty much the only ones here. But, you know, what I'd like to do is we've been working on a section called The State of Grace. And what I'd like to do is I'm going to read up to the part that we left off last week, and I'm going to use that for the meditation. So I'd like to ask you to just kind of like sit quietly for a minute and take a breath so we can start getting centered in. And I'm going to read it to you, and just take a minute to remind yourself of your purpose for being here. Because of course, as everything is, it's going to turn out based on our goal. So, I'd like you to take an opportunity to set a goal. What is it that you would like to come out of this session today? What would you like to get out of this session today? Really take a moment to answer that question for yourself. What would you like to come out of this session for today? But your inner guide will always guide you truly. Because your joy is the joy of your inner guide, God. God's will for everyone is that you be truly happy. Because your inner guide speaks for your true happiness, the kingdom of God, which is joy. So really, following your real self, following your inner self, following the Holy Spirit, is therefore the easiest thing in the world. As a matter of fact, following your real self is the only thing that is easy. Because following your real self is not of the world. And so following your real self is therefore natural. The world goes against your real nature. Being out of accord with God's laws, the world goes against your real nature. The world perceives orders of difficulty in everything. This is because the fearful mind of the world perceives nothing as wholly desirable. So by demonstrating to yourself that there is no order of difficulty in healing, which are miracles, you will convince yourself that in your natural state there is no difficulty at all. In your natural state there is no difficulty at all, because your natural state is a state of grace. Grace is the natural state of every child of God. When you are not in a state of grace, it means you are out of your natural environment, which means you don't function well. When you're out of your natural environment, everything you do becomes a strain. Because you were not created for the environment that you made. You cannot therefore adapt yourself to the environment that you made that's a strain. And you cannot adapt the environment that you've made that's a strain to you. There is no point in trying. A child of God is only happy when that child knows that that child is with God, the Creator, love. Being with love, being with your Creator, being in your natural environment, being in an environment in which there is no strain, is the only environment in which you will not experience strain. Being in your natural environment is the environment where you belong, where you function well. It is also the only environment that's worthy of you. The only environment that's worthy of you is an environment where you would love, which is God, an environment where you do not strain, an environment where you function well, an environment that's easy. It is the only environment that's worthy of you as a child of God, because your own worth is beyond anything you can make. I want you to consider the kingdom that you've made, and I want you to judge its worth fairly. The environment that you've made for yourself, is it worthy to be a home of a child of God? I mean, does the environment and the relationships that you created, do they protect your peace? Does your environment shine love upon you? Does your relationship shine love upon you? Does your environment keep your heart untouched by fear? Does your relationship keep your heart untouched by fear? Does your environment allow you to give always without any sense of loss? Does your environment teach you that giving is your joy? Does your environment teach you that God thanks you for your giving? For that's the only environment in which you can really be happy, is an environment that protects your peace, shines love on you, keeps you free of fear, allows you to give always without feeling like you're losing. That's the only environment that you can really be happy in. You cannot make it. You can't make it. You cannot make it. You cannot make the environment that you would truly be happy in permanently. Any more than you can make yourself. You didn't make yourself, and so therefore you can't make the environment in which you experience permanent happiness. But the environment in which you can experience permanent happiness has been created for you, as you have been created for the environment that can give you permanent happiness. Your Creator watches over you and denies you nothing. But when you deny the truth, when you deny your Creator, when you deny the truth, you don't know that you have everything. Because you are denying yourself everything. You who could give the love of God to everything you see and touch and remember, you are literally denying heaven to yourself. I call upon you to remember that I've chosen you to teach the truth to the kingdom. There are no exceptions to this lesson, because the lack of exceptions is the lesson. And every child of God that returns to his natural environment with the lesson of truth in their heart has healed creation and given thanks to God. Everybody who learns this lesson has become the perfect teacher, because you've learned the truth of your Holy Spirit, your inner guide. Now, when your mind knows only the truth, your mind has only the truth. And the radiance of the truth shines all around your mind. And the radiance of the truth that's in your mind will extend out into the darkness and ignorance of other minds. And just by being in the presence of your mind, others will be transformed into majesty. The majesty, the power, the greatness of God is there for you to recognize, appreciate, and know. So if you were to recognize the people around you as the majesty of God, you have acknowledged what God has given you. Nothing is so easy as to recognize the truth. Recognizing the truth is a recognition that is immediate, clear, and natural. Recognizing real love is immediate, clear, and natural. Recognizing the truth is not hard. Recognizing the truth does not take a long time. Recognizing the truth doesn't ask you to do anything unnatural. Actually, recognizing the truth, if it's the real truth, it's immediate, clear, and natural. You have trained yourself not to recognize it. You have educated yourself not to recognize the truth. And this has been very difficult for you. Let's take a breath. There is nothing to fear. There is nothing to fear. Okay, we're on page 137. Got a few extra books up here in case someone wants to follow along, which kind of helps you learn how to read the course. It's
It'll be a little challenging at first to read it. You have to learn how to read it. In fact, they're easier to read than regular books. Look over the paragraph 6 on page 137. So one of the main points that was made out of that was if you're following your inner guidance, it's the easiest thing in the world to follow your real guidance. It's the easiest thing in the world to follow your own real guidance. If you're following the guidance of the Holy Spirit, which is the voice for God, it's the easiest thing to do. So when you're being true to yourself and you're truly following your heart and you're truly following your guidance, the Course says it's the only thing in the world that's natural, because it goes against everything that the world teaches you. And it's going against everything that the world teaches that is natural. The world teaches fear, the world teaches separation, the world teaches competition, the world teaches to attack and defend, the world teaches that there is not enough, the world teaches that there's something to be afraid of all the time. The world teaches you that you're a body that dies, the world teaches you that you're alone, the world teaches you that you're on your own. The world, when I say that, when I talk about the world, I'm talking about the fearful thoughts. And so the Course says that you would only be happy when you know you're with God. You'd only be happy when you know you're with that which created you. And that's one of the most difficult things, I believe, for people who are ambitious and who have goals for themselves and things that they want to achieve on their own. One of the most difficult things is for them to accept that there's something greater than their own ego. You know, it's like it's good to have a lot of ambition, and it's good to have a lot of personal will. But what I've noticed is that it also tends to correspond with people who get out of touch with God. Because then it's all about me doing everything according to my wits, my personal knowledge, my personal study, and that's what's going to save me, and that's what's going to take care of me. And the Course in Miracles says it's exactly the opposite. That heaven and ease of life comes from learning how to pay attention to guidance and following the guidance from your real self and following the guidance from God, following the guidance from your heart. So instead of taking our intelligence to make us surrender more to the truth of ourselves, we take our intelligence to make us think we just need to get better at doing it on our own and figuring it out on our own. See the difference? That's what I had to watch when I first started my enlightenment process. And I heard that thought, I created my own reality. I thought it was talking about my ego. You know, that whole I create my own reality thing. I thought it was talking about the Earl that's sitting in the chair that really doesn't know what's going to be happening 6 hours from now. That is not the you that creates your reality. The one that's sitting in the chair is the one that reacts to the reality that you are creating. The one that doesn't know what's going on, that's the one that's reacting to what you are creating, the you beyond who you think you are. And so the Course is saying, I'm going to only be happy when I know I'm with that which created me. And since I didn't create me, then I also can't create the environment in which I'll be happy. You know, just like the same creator that created the cow, if you notice, also created the grass. The grass came with the cow. The bird came with the worm. But think about it. That is not how we do it. We're like the cow that has to invent the grass. We're the cow that's trying to invent the grass. And then getting mad because the grass we invent doesn't nourish us. And the Course is saying something radical. It's saying you didn't create yourself and you didn't create the grass of your good either. And if you want to wake up to who you really are, you need to learn what created you. And what created you is inside of you and it's guiding you. And when you listen to it, then you have a natural, easy environment in which you function well. And so if you have a life that you're not functioning well and everything is a strain, you should just assume that you're not following your guidance, you're following the guidance your ego is making up for you. Then it goes on to tell us, let me give you the test. Let me give you the test. Okay, does your environment protect your peace and shine love upon you? Does your environment keep you completely untouched by fear And does the environment you're in shine love on you all the time? And does the environment that you're in teach you that giving is how you receive and that you never lose by giving? And are you feeling completely free of care, concern, and worry?
No.
So we got. So we basically got a bunch of cows trying to invent their grass. Could we admit that?
Yeah.
How they working?
Instead of moo, we go boo. Right? You know, the spiritual cows go boo. Boo. You know. Okay. It goes on. I'm just doing a quick review of what we're saying. Is that it says that every time you realize that you're only going to be happy when you connect with your source, and that you came here to demonstrate the truth. That if you're willing to be a demonstrator of the truth, you came here to be a demonstrator of what's real. You came here to be a demonstrator of love. He says. Then he turns around and says, "Well, everybody that learns that lesson becomes the perfect teacher. So when you have the truth in your mind, this is really deep. He says, when you have the truth in your mind, then it radiates around." It, and then it extends from your mind into the minds of the people around you, and it transforms their fearful dark minds also into love. So how would a truly enlightened being be protected in the world? It's very simple. If I am a representation of the truth and I'm demonstrating the truth and I believe the truth, and that's all there is in my mind, it radiates out from my mind, and when I come in contact with you, the truth in my mind radiates out in your mind, transforms your mind into love too. And when I'm with you, we have total peace. So the people around me are actually reflecting back to me the truth that I'm extending to them, and whatever I'm extending to them is what they're reflecting back to me. Everybody around you is just a projection screen of your own thoughts coming to you to let you see what you're thinking so you can forgive yourself. And I don't like that. Oh, so much of my feeling good comes from feeling like I'm not like the people I'm upset with that's around me. I don't want to believe that they're a projection screen. But so forget about that. And just focus on the idea that once you accept the truth for yourself, then your mind becomes a radiator of the truth and can transform the minds of those around you. Focus on that. And you know it's true, because there are certain people you can be around that treat you really cool, but there are people that you know that don't like those very people. And when they're around those people, they feel like those people treat them very cruelly and unkindly. Same person, right? But why is it that you're attracting the cool side of your boss, and they're attracting the side of the boss that's always hellacious? It's the same boss. What's the problem? Who's the common denominator? When I used to work for the telephone company, and I was a telephone installer repairman, when I got hired, it was the first group of African Americans that ever got hired at the telephone company who weren't janitors. It was like the first time they was going to ever let black folk out from the South, Memphis, be telephone install repairmen. It was a big deal back in the day. I was one of those infamous first blacks. The first black, and so I was one of them first blacks. And I supposedly had the most racist supervisor in the company. So that was great. My ego dropped me right in there with part-time Ku Klux Klan boss. But I had just gotten into New Thought, and I had just gotten into the idea that thought is creative, and I had just gotten to the idea that what was around me was myself and my own consciousness, but in another body. That's what New Thought taught me when I first got into it, right? And people always say, well, you can't apply it to the real world. It's okay to say this stuff in this room, but when you go out here, you're dealing with the rest of cop-out. You're dealing with the real world, so then you got to go deal with the real world, just like the world is, which is kind of stupid, because how are you going to get the result of your new learning if you don't use it? So then you get a lot of frustrated New Thought people who think it doesn't work because they don't realize they're just listening to it, but they're not using it because they think the world is something separate that you don't use this stuff in. Yet they get frustrated, but you're not doing it. Right?
Right.
Okay? So anyway, I went in and I was going to do it. You know, this is just Earl in another form. I'm looking at my own past. I'm looking at my own past. This is just me. This is really just me. And I kept looking at that, and most of the guys in the crew were complaining and bitching and moaning about how they thought he was racist and he was da-da-da. And I was just, he's just me. He's just me. He's just another part of me. He's just me. And guess who he recommended for promotion? Guess who was the first management person at Bell South in the city of Memphis? I was 25. I had a different perception of him, and I always drew another experience of him other than the rest of the crew who thought he was their adversary. And I've seen it over and over and over and over and over and over. Guess what? I don't care about what somebody tell me about somebody else. Like, if you come up to me and you tell me about her and what you don't like about her, I don't pay any attention to that, because I'm going to draw out of her what I am. You draw out of her what you are. So you need to check yourself. Why are you tuning in to that channel of that person? You know, the cool self is at 92.7. The hellacious person is operating at frequency 72.9. You need to change channels, because you're tuning into the part of that person that's drawing to you what you are experiencing from them. And when you raise your vibration, then you tune into another part of them, or they leave, or something happens that you're no longer in each other's presence again. If they don't change, one of y'all end up moving out of the experience. It's been my experience over and over again. So what I'm saying is, even without realizing it, I was experiencing what the Course is saying right now. My mind was radiating a different kind of thought, and so I drew a different kind of reflection from what everybody around me that was thinking entirely different. It's much easier to change a person like that than to try to outwardly change their personality, which is the way that most people go about it. So I was following my guidance, so that was easier than me trying to change my boss's perception. And he would say something like, I don't know why I'm doing this, but there's just something about you that's different. You know, I guess I was a good colored person. I don't care what he told his staff to make him treat me right. That doesn't make any difference to me. Mm-hmm. You see what I mean? That's his ego. All I know is he was treating me cool because I was looking at him different. And I didn't have a conversation with him. I didn't take him out to lunch. I didn't try to teach him metaphysical principles. I applied them.
And were there times it was hard for you to see him, you know, through the eyes of the truth rather than...
Yeah, sometimes it was very difficult to see him through the eyes of the truth. But but I used it anyway, which is the same way I do now. I don't pretend like it's always easy to apply what I teach out of these books. You know, but if you go to college to take a course, just because you don't like one of the electives, they don't say you're not going to have to take it. You still have to go ahead and do it anyway. So I'll just go ahead and do it anyway. Sometimes then it gets to the point that your loving self will become so much a part of you that you'll be nicer than you intended to be. And then you'll wonder what the hell happened. You know, you'd be like, you like all ready to go give somebody hell, and before you know it, you're giving them a lift home. And you go, wait a minute, what happened? I wasn't with it. Your loving self has now taken over more than your fearful self. Mm-hmm. And so you'll reach a point on the path where your loving self will have you reacting in ways that your ego would not have you react at all. So some of you, are any of you experiencing what I'm talking about? Where it looks like sometimes you're being treated better than even you think you deserve to be treated, and sometimes you don't even know why, or people being really, really loving, and it almost makes you scared and suspicious because you're wondering why. And the truth is, your loving self is now becoming more predominant over your fearful self. Yeah. So let's go to the next paragraph. It says, out of your natural environment, you may well ask, what's the truth? And isn't that what we're doing? Mm-hmm. That's what we're studying. So that's our first clue, that we are out of our natural environment. Okay. Then it says, since the truth is the environment by which and for which you were created. You were created for the truth. You were created by the truth. You were created for love. And that's all the truth is. We're only talking about love or fear. That's all the Course is talking about. So it says, you do not know yourself because you don't know your creator. You do not know your creations because you don't know your brothers and sisters who created them with you. I have already said that only the whole sonship, that's all of us, is worthy to be a co-creator with God, because only all of us can create like God. Whenever you heal a brother, and I say a person, whenever you heal a person, by what? Recognizing his worth. We're going to be with that sentence for a minute. People go, well, how do you heal a situation? How do I heal this situation? The Course says you heal the situation by recognizing the person's value. Now, let's take a situation where you're mad at somebody and you think they've done you an injustice and you're upset with them, right? Obviously, you're not recognizing their value. It's just the opposite. You're seeing them as a low-down son of a gun. That's not recognizing their value. I look at them as somebody who's done me wrong. I am not recognizing their value. So, yes, it's hard to recognize the value of someone you have a grievance toward. So that's why the Course in Miracles' whole message is a message of how to learn how to forgive. Because until I learn how to re-perceive what's got me upset, I won't see your value and therefore experience the healing. So how do I take the grievance away from you? The way that I take the grievance away from you is to recognize that I'm receiving from you what I'm asking for, and I'm receiving from you what I believe about myself, and that you are giving me an opportunity to remember the truth and to practice it. How did that make you feel? Some of y'all got a lot of opportunities hanging around. Like every time you look up, you got another opportunity. So whenever you heal a brother, the Course is by recognizing his worth, you are acknowledging his power to create in you. So the way that I heal with you is to, okay, this is deep. The way I heal with everybody in this room is to recognize that everybody in this room has as much power as I do. And everybody in this room are as much a creator as I am. And everybody in this room are just as much a part of love that I am. Everybody in this room is just as much valuable as I am. To heal with you is to recognize our equality. So if I'm creating what happens to me in my perception, you're creating what happens to you in your perception. I'm not the one that's making you mad. If you're not the one that's making me mad. Isn't it true? I mean, most people are quick to say, I created this situation, and once they get on the metaphysical path, they'll say, I'm ready to take some responsibility. But what they won't do is give that same right to the person, everybody else around them. They'll say, I am responsible for what I'm experiencing, but I'm also responsible for what you're experiencing. That's not the way it works. If I'm responsible for what I'm experiencing, you're responsible for what you're experiencing. If I'm responsible for my feelings, you're responsible for your feelings. I can't take on the responsibility and then turn around and take on the responsibility for everybody without taking myself further into guilt and fear and hell. So to take the truth and pervert it into I'm responsible for everybody's feelings is going to cause it to be hell to follow the truth path. No, the truth is you, the creator of your experience, you can learn how to listen to your own Holy Spirit. Have an environment that's not strained. Have a relationship that is natural, that comes from learning the truth and applying the truth. And every single solitary being on this planet has the exact same opportunity that you do to recognize the truth for themselves also. So you are not responsible for somebody else's pain.
Yeah.
It feels really good unless you want to blame somebody else for yours. Now if you got a bunch of people that you're blaming for what you're going through, that was not a popular statement. And that's why I believe it's very difficult for people to stay committed to the Course in Miracles for any period of time. Because the Course in Miracles really and truly is very, very blunt, very simple, very straight up, and it doesn't sugarcoat anything. And our most cherished picture of ourselves, our most cherished possession, is the picture that we have of ourselves, the concept we have of ourselves, the way we wired it, and the way that we figured it out. Sajid and I were talking about that just the other day when we were studying together, and we were reading a part of the Course that was talking about whenever you try to teach somebody the truth, that even when they come to you and they want the truth is they're going to see you as the most threatening person that they could have ever been around. And so even though they say they want to be here, the part of them is never going to want to come back, because what you're doing is you're threatening their perception of reality and their picture of themselves and who they think they are. So when the Course through me says certain things and it clashes with your image of yourself, then it says, well, then you see the teacher as being the one who's threatening your most cherished possession, which is the way you see yourself. And literally, either you want to attack them or you want to get away from them. Because sometimes I would make myself feel frustrated after teaching a class, because it would look like I was doing everything in my possible to extend love, and I would watch people react to what I just said as if I just told them the hardest thing in the world to do, or they'd be depressed, or they'd be disoriented. And I'm like, going, all I said is that you deserve to be in an easy, natural environment where things come easy for you when you got that. And I watch people walk out of the door like I just killed them. They'd be like so upset, and you know, it's like, why? Because their picture of themselves had somehow been threatened. Because we think we are our friggin' picture.
Yeah.
So we are all identified with the picture. There's really you and your ego. There's you and your picture of yourself. There's you and your concept of yourself. That you learn. That's what all these words are. That you learn. And so now you think that's you. Okay, that's the way it goes. Now you think this is you. Whatever you went through as a child, being a woman, being a man, whatever your race, your sex, your culture, your childhood experiences, high school, college, all the workshops, everything you studied, everybody you've been with, it's you. Here it is. You come in the door. It's making you miserable because it's not you, but it's who you think you are. So you come in the door, and the Course says, bullshit.
Yeah.
All of it's an illusion. It's not what you are. It's not real. I know you learned in the school that you're a victim of everybody else, and that people do things to you, and that you are an innocent, and you're guilty, and somebody's done something to you. Your picture, your story, the Course says, that ain't you. That's something you learned. You got to be willing to get it. Put that picture down, and then pick up another one. Only this one is still a picture, just like this one, but this one reflects the truth about who you are. So at some point, you won't need the picture at all, because you'll be it. You'll realize you're just describing who you are. You understand what I'm saying? But in the meantime, while I am revealing through the Course to you that this is bull, it's not really who you are, the part of you that identifies with it feels threatened, feels like it's being left defenseless, and you're being told a bunch of stuff that couldn't possibly be true, because your picture is your reality. That's what you think is true about you. So I would go through, I would make myself feel frustrated as a teacher. I'm like going, this is, you don't know how I'm, you don't say, it's like, my God. It's like, and when I read that, in the two supplemental pamphlets of the Course in Miracles, there were two more extra pamphlets that was channeled after the Course, which one was called Psychotherapy, Process and Practice, and the other was Jesus talking about prayer, like what the true meaning of prayer is. And now in what they call the third edition of the Course, which I just got, in the third edition of the Course, they include that in it. So now it's got all the complete Course in the latest edition of the Course. And so it says in there that when you really practice the truth and you're really loving and you're really trying to go for what's real, then actually most people who are cherishing their old beliefs and perceptions of themselves and their self-image, they're going to feel threatened by what you're seeing at a conscious or subconscious level, feel like, get upset and want to separate. Unless they reach their limit. You know, it's like I asked myself, well, why did I, even though my ego reacted just like everybody else's ego when I first got into the Course, why did I keep on going no matter what? Because I had had enough. I had really had enough. It's like I didn't want to go back to that well of this picture one more time. It's like, no, I really want a difference. And so I'm always trying to look. I realize it's always perfect, whoever comes, whoever doesn't come back or whatever. But that's why I do the AMT, because I want to connect with people who've had enough to want to spend some extended period of time studying together, even if it challenges their cherished possession of themselves, which means they don't have to like everything that they hear any more than I like everything that I hear, but I keep on going because I want to get to my real self. Because most, the Course says the body's confidence is guiding rule. So most people only want to listen to stuff that makes them feel good. If they don't feel good, then it's like those sinless response creatures. It's like, if it don't feel good, I'm moving away. So if I go to a church that's all positive thinking and they never address my shadow side, I love it, but I ain't changing. But if I go somewhere where they're challenging my shadow being the subconscious beliefs that I have about myself that are limiting me, then I get all upset. And the temptation is to go, well, I don't want to come back there no more because I didn't feel good and I felt disoriented and I heard something I didn't like. Well, that's the clue that maybe you heard something you need to pay attention to, because your reaction lets you know something's going on there. So this is a whole, this is a totally different level of teaching than just positive, I want to manifest a car. This is different. Because you can manifest a car. I'm working on that right now. That's neither here nor there. That's nothing to feel guilty about. You want a nice house, get a nice house. Manifest it. That doesn't make any difference. What really matters, though, is that you be in your natural environment, that you be in an environment that loves you, that you be in an environment that there is no fear, that you be in an environment that you can give and you don't feel like you're losing by giving, that you're in an environment that you function well, and that you're in an environment that there's no strain for you and you feel love. That's the core sense. That's the environment you're going to be happy in. A car in and of itself isn't going to give you that environment. A house in and of itself is not going to give you that environment. Clothes in and of itself is not going to give you that environment. A promotion on your job in and of itself is not going to give you that environment. Losing 10 pounds in and of itself is not going to give you that environment if you still don't have an image of, if you're still carrying around a picture of yourself that something's wrong with you. You just be well-dressed and miserable, which a lot of people are, well-dressed and miserable. So we're talking about another level. We're talking about the level of content, not the level of form. This is a different level. So then, then the Course tells us, says, well, how do I get past it? He says, whenever I heal a person by recognizing their value, I'm acknowledging their power to create in mind. The person can't have lost what you recognize. And so you must have the power of glory that you see in him. You couldn't have lost the beauty that I recognize in you. If I see it in you, then you haven't lost it. And he says, then I must have it too, because I couldn't have seen it in you unless I saw it in myself first, because I had to see it in myself before I could see it in you. So for me to try to see you as the beautiful people that I see you as being, it couldn't have happened until I started seeing Earl as the beautiful person he is. So I don't have a problem looking out at y'all and saying, you know, you all are really valuable and I really appreciate you. And that's not me trying to be positive when I say that. That's how I see you. It's not me trying to practice the Course. That's how I see you. But I didn't see people that way until I started to see myself that way. And when I saw myself that way, I could see everybody else that way. But I used to wait for everybody else to be that way before I would accept it as being true. You know, it's like me standing in front of a mirror expecting it to show me a red sweater where I'm wearing this one. It's like, no, you'll see a red sweater in the mirror when you put one on. You'll see the beautiful people in the world when you love yourself and give yourself an environment that you feel natural in and that you don't feel a strain and that you're following your guidance and you're no longer letting yourself have this picture of guilt and sin and lack and then cherishing that picture and then getting in a relationship with somebody who's got the same picture and then y'all get together and have a little bitty picture. So we got pictures arguing with pictures. Making another picture. Oh, am I making any darn sense to anybody? I tell you, I see some looks out there. You just wouldn't believe out there. And I came out in the snow for this. So what I would suggest each one of you do is literally take a sheet of typing paper, right, and just write on there my concept of myself, and then realize that, and this is kind of like keep it with you, you know, and then when you come in the room, like, you know, have it in the right there. Say, okay, this is my concept of myself, and this is what I think is the truth, and this is the reality that I think I live in, and I am cherishing this because this idea of me is who I think I am. And when I come to a truth class, it's going to dispel this, because it's going to say, you are more than a woman. You are more than a man. You are more than a body. You are more than your culture. You are more than your learning. You are more than your past. You are more than a mama. You are more than a daddy. You are more than a sister. You are more than a brother. You are more than black. You are more than white. You are more than any of this. And so you're thinking that you are this is what's causing your pain, because that's not what you are. If it was, it would be easy.
Yeah.
You think a bird go to a workshop to fly? But wouldn't a bird have to go to a workshop to learn how to swim under the water if it wasn't natural for that bird? No, see what I'm saying? You only learning to do what's not natural to you. You're only learning to do what's not. That's why we're learning so much. That's why we're straining so much. We're creators. We're not makers. We're creators who've forgotten that we're creators. So now we've made up a picture, and we're trying to live according to a picture that has nothing to do with who we are, being taught by people who are not even happy with the picture themselves. And so they're passing it on to us, and we're still buying into it. I remember being so young, telling myself I wasn't going to pass on the same stuff to my children that was passed on to me, and found myself doing the exact same thing. It tripped me out when I realized that I was doing the exact same thing. I was passing on the exact same belief. But then the Course told me that if you're going to function in the world, you do need to understand how the world operates in order to unlearn it. So it's almost like, yeah, every one of us needed to learn all the language of the world, or we wouldn't be able to function and communicate here. We had to learn the language. Now we know the language, and now it's time to teach a new one. If I learn how to speak French, but I want to teach it to somebody that speaks Spanish, I need to know how to speak Spanish to teach them French. So it's okay that we learned all the insane teachings of the world so that we could communicate to everybody that's in the world. But we're not here to keep it going. Some souls really do come here for a higher purpose. You know, it really is about more than power, money, fame, and physical pleasure. It really is. I hate to say this, but it really is. You know, it's not really about making sure that you can have so many orgasms a night. Oh, I know that's the part of the truth I don't like either. But it didn't say you couldn't. It just said that's not all that it's about. That's all. You know, but the idea of guilt is what makes us think, well, it's not okay to have the pleasures of the body. The Course is not saying there's anything wrong with having the pleasures of the body. The Course is saying to us, we need to have a natural, functioning, easy, loving experience.
Yeah.
So, which would include having that. Right. You know, but if I'm going to... So who is it that goes to sleep? The picture. Who is it that can't listen to what I'm saying? The picture. Who's bored with this? The picture. Not you. The picture. The picture is that don't want to come back. It's the picture that they can't pay attention. Because see, this is me. As far as I'm concerned, this picture is me. And all I see is the writing that I put on the page. And that's the life that I'm having. And it in turn is projecting, just like that's a film. Okay, I'm the light going from the projector. Boom, there she is out there. The woman that never treats me right. Boom, there she is right there on the screen. Coming from my picture. Based on what I went through when I was in the fifth grade. Didn't like me. She said it's a step behind me. That's when it all got started. Don't really like me. Okay, so I got the picture. I got the script. I'm projecting it out. My mind is the light going through my thoughts, being projected in my physical world, which makes me think that it must really be true. Why? Because I see it.
Yeah.
But when you're sitting in a movie theater, guess what? There's a whole world outside of the movie theater. But when you're sitting in the dark and you're watching your favorite character just about to get ready to be killed and your heart is stopped and you, oh my God, oh, don't go, don't open the door, don't open the door. You know, it looks so real. And then in the meantime, there's people in the lobby band buying popcorn, there's people walking down the mall, and you, ah! You know, you're in a giant movie theater. Wake up, people. You're in a giant movie theater. You're looking at your own horror movie. I'm coming in, and I'm telling you.
It's a movie.
You know how you go to people, you go to the movie and you have a little smart ass friend that would go with you and say something like, but you know it's just a movie. And then you get mad. Anybody ever had that? Then you get mad. What you mean? You know, because you want to believe in your illusion. And you know that unless you believe in it, you can't enjoy it. So when the court takes away our belief and our illusion, we act like the person in the movie that gets mad at their friend who reminds them that it's not real. That's me. Because you build a whole world around your story. You know your way around your story. You use your story as a justification for not giving yourself what you really want for years.
Yeah.
So you know it. It's easier to do your story than to do this, you tell yourself. You know what I mean? You know, it's something like somehow or another it would be easier for a bird to burrow underground than it would be for him to know he was a bird and just take off and fly. That's the way we are. Like somehow or another spirit telling us we are loved, we are innocent, we only deserve to be happy, we're unlimited, we're not trapped, we're not alone, we can have help. Like somehow or another, that teaching is harder than I'm trying to figure out, okay, let me get rid of this picture and let me write another one. I'll call it my latest plan for my happiness. That one didn't work. So I'm going back to the drawing board. And I'm going to write another one. Still based on the idea that I'm a separate being. And not coming up with a script based on I am innocent. I am loved. You see? And that's what the Course is saying to us. It says, you know, you are co-creator with God with me. If I deny your creative power, I'm denying my creative power, and I'm denying the power of God who created me. You can't deny part of the truth. You don't know your creations because you don't know their creator. You don't know yourself because you don't know your creations. Your creations cannot establish your reality. In other words, if I make up an image of who I am as being a horse, right? So I'm a horse. And I said that that's my creation. That creation that I made up does not establish me as a child of God. It does not reflect back what I am.
It also doesn't make your horse either.
And it doesn't make, so just because you make it up that way, he's saying your creations cannot establish your reality. Your creations cannot establish your reality. He says to us, any more than you can establish God's reality. But you can know your reality, and you can know God's reality, because being is known by sharing. So the more I see it as in you, the more I'll know it is in me. Then it says, because God shared God's being with you, you can know God. But you must also know all that God created to know what they have shared. So me just wanting to recognize my divinity without wanting to know your divinity isn't going to work. Because I am more than what God created, more than separate me. So if I want to leave you out, I can't know God, because God is all that is. Then it goes on to say, the king, he says, without your father, you will not know your fatherhood. The kingdom of God includes all his sons, their children, who are like the sons, they're like the father. In other words, know then the children of God, and you will know all creation. When I know you as love, then I know all creation. Now, do you look like the picture that I painted of you? Of course you don't look like the picture I painted of you. And is it not the picture that I painted of you that makes this seem hard? Of course it's the picture I painted of you that makes this seem hard. Because I painted a picture of you that you're not completely loving. You're not completely lovable. I can't trust everybody. They do, they might hurt me. See, this is my picture. So when someone says trust, love, be open, I feel like that person is threatening me, because I feel like my safety is based on this picture and believing in this picture that I can't trust you. So what do? I tap into the part of you that reflects back to me that you're not trustworthy. Because that's the picture I'm playing on my personal theater. And there's a whole lot of people in the new movie. And the new movie is the movie based on love. And that new movie actually becomes the reality, because it's more like a documentary. It's more like a picture of what really exists outside the theater. while we've been making a picture that doesn't exist outside the theater. Watching the movie with people who like that genre. Then going out with them and having little children. The course is saying, you're going to have to get up and move into another auditorium. There are some cool people in this other auditorium. Or you wake up to the fact that you don't want to watch that movie anymore, and you're in a relationship with somebody who still loves that movie. And you have to be willing to go to the other movie theater knowing that they'll get tired of that movie one day too, and they'll join you in the new theater just like you left the theater. But you could also let them know there is another theater we can go to. They say, okay, I'll check it out with you. Or they'll say, no, I think I still want Friday the 13th. And you have to let them watch their movie. You don't drag them out of the movie. So the people that you know that love the movie, let them have their movie. They're going to one day get tired of that movie, and they'll go to the other auditorium. It's time for us to go to the other auditorium. Thank you for letting me go on. Y'all get it about the...
Yeah.
We got it.
Okay. All right. Now, Nick, love the idea of being told to see you as powerful. To see you as creators. To see your value. To not see you as victims. Even if you see yourself as one. Which doesn't mean I wouldn't be compassionate any more than I wouldn't want people to be compassionate with me. It has nothing to do with not being compassionate. It has to do with empowering people. And we empower each other when we remember that we are loved regardless. I'm not, so the person that you don't like, which you really don't like, is the picture. That's what you're not like. And their picture is battling your picture. That's why nothing gets solved. That's why we go around through the same circles over and over again. As long as I'm coming from a false perception of myself, battling somebody else's false perception of themselves, nothing ever does change. It's not until I realize I'm not the picture that the change happens. And that's what the course is about. It's about getting us in touch with what's behind the image that we've made up that we think is ourselves. Because when we're in the movie theater, don't we get engrossed? And it doesn't look like there's nothing else but the movie that we're watching. Mm-hmm. That's what's happening to us right now. That's all that's happening right now. And there is, so if you could imagine, just for a minute, that there is a world outside of the theater. That's what the course calls the real world. And it's trying to get us back to that realization. But our ego is also listening to this, right? So then our ego takes everything it's just heard and tries to use it to manipulate us more toward separation, more toward being alone, more toward thinking we're on our own and we got to do it all by ourselves. So it takes the information and still tries to use it to make us be separate from each other. So nothing that I'm saying is saying it's not okay to have your dreams. It's not okay for you to have the things that you want in the world or to play all the games of the world. But let's face it, it's a lot more fun when you know it's a game. It's a lot more fun when you know it's a game. You can play the game of being the president of your own company. You can play the game of losing weight. You can play the game of what it'd be like to have $1 billion. You can play all the games of the world. But the course is saying, let's go for the real game. And the real game is the game of love. Mm-hmm. It's the game of safety. It's the game of peace. It's the game of unity. Who want to play that game? The game of no pain. Yeah. The game of, you know, union. That's what the game I want to play now. Mm-hmm. I know you can manifest stuff. All of us know we can do that. So don't feel any guilty about that. Don't feel guilty about that. It's okay. You can have your stuff. Mm-hmm. Nobody's trying to take our stuff from us. Most people are mad because nobody wants their stuff. You know. So that's okay. Have that game. But just realize you're not the game you're playing. Then you'll be empowered through it. You know, and that's what I want for us. And that's what I want for me. And so the next class is on Wednesday.